All right, before I get to the message, I just wanted to let you all know a little bit about myself, my family, what God has done in our lives, and kind of what he's called us to do. I told you in the morning service kind of how God called me into evangelism out of that tent meeting. Really what God has impressed upon my heart, I put encouraging churches across America, and some of you may be like, well, how in the world do you do that? And if you find out, would you come please let me know? No, one of the things that when I talked to my pastor about kind of my burden was to be able to go and be able to fill a pulpit for a pastor if he needs somebody and not have that pastor worry about what's going to be preached behind the pulpit. My pastor and I, we talked about it. I said, Pastor, I just want to go in and preach Bible doctrine, just what the Bible says. I don't want to, try to stir up the nest or anything like that, or try to pull people away. That's not what I want. If anything, what I want to do is push people towards the man of God that God has given each and every church. Another aspect of our ministry is going to be a lot with children. I told you in the morning service that I do work with the children at our church. I preach every Sunday, except for this Sunday, obviously, in junior church. And our church brings in about 80 young people on buses to our church. And they are snotty-nosed, rebellious, wanting to bounce off the walls, little kids. And I love every single one of them. A lot with children's ministry. I know you folks here just finished up your vacation Bible school. 2 weeks ago, I did the vacation Bible school at our church. God really blessed. We had about 185 different boys and girls come through our VBS. And it was just a lot of energy. I mean, it was crazy. And if you get to know me for any length of time, you will learn some things about me. And one of them is that I am crazy. I love having fun with kids. I love kids. So we just finished that up. Just to give you an example, we do a penny drive at our vacation Bible school. The kids bring in their pennies, boys against the girls, see who wins. And I have a helper for the boys and a helper for the girls. And whatever side loses, they have to do something. So this year they had to drink a baby food milkshake, whatever side lost. And then on top of that, if the boys and girls bring in a certain amount of money, I would drink the baby food milkshake. And I'll have you know, I drank a baby food milkshake on two Fridays ago. So I just love working with children. I love kids. I'll just tell you this. D.L. Moody once said, if I had it to do all over again, I would have never stopped working with the children. And so I love kids. I love that you all have a great group of young people here at your church. So those are kind of some things that God has impressed upon our heart to do, is just to go and help people. And then not only that, but to train the people in the church to then be able to do what I do, so that they can then do that themselves. So that's kind of a little bit about our ministry. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I did want to say that I do appreciate how well behaved you all were this morning. I was hoping I would get a little bit of junior church in there, but we didn't. So Ephesians and chapter number 4. Ephesians and chapter number 4. As you're turning there, I would encourage you to get our prayer card. And can I just say, now, thank you for praying for us. We do appreciate it. That is one thing that we need more than anything else, is the prayers of God's people to come alongside of us and help us as we try to go and help others. Ephesians in chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto them. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, are compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want you to notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captive captive and gave gifts unto men. Now you'll notice verse 9 and 10 are in parentheses. And I appreciated Brother Ashquith this morning talking about that. I said, I'm going to talk about that myself this evening. Brother Ashquith said it right. If you read verse 8, you can skip right down to verse number 11, and it's right in that order. So verse number 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The Bible teaches here that God has given you a pastor. It is a gift of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help me this evening as I preach thy word. Lord, help me to help these folks. God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, clothe me in my calling once again. Help me to say what you want me to say. Keep from me the things you want me not to say. For I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, and he gave. Now, I am not a Greek scholar. I don't speak Greek. They told me in high school that I had to take a foreign language. I said, I already am. I'm taking English. But they still made me teach a foreign language. But I don't know much about Greek, but I know that word gave is the same word in John 3:16 when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ truly is a gift from God. That's right. So isn't your pastor. He is a gift from God to you. My pastor is a gift from God to me. And as such, we need to learn how to treat the gifts that God's given us. I have a few gifts that are very precious to me. And they're very precious to me, first and foremost, because of who gave them to me. One of them I wear right here on my ring finger on my left hand, and that is my wedding band. My wife gave this to me a little over 17 years ago on the day that we were married. And this is a precious gift to me. I treat this gift preciously. I don't just take it off and throw it around. In fact, I can probably count on one hand the number of times that this ring has come off my finger. And those times are only because I was having a surgery and I had to take, they made me take it off. But this gift is precious to me. And I treat it as because of who gave it to me and what it means to me. The next book gift that I hold very precious is this Bible. Specifically, this one. This one was given to me again from my wife on Valentine's Day. My wife bought me this Bible, and it's precious to me. I treat it with respect, not only because who gave it to me, but also because of what's inside of it. I don't just throw it around and, you know, toss it around or just leave it laying on the floor. I don't even like putting other things on top of my Bible. It's the Word of God, and as such, so is your pastor. He is a gift from God to you. And tonight I want to just this afternoon I want to just say show you seven ways that you can help your pastor and be an encouragement to your pastor. We are going to turn to quite a few scriptures this afternoon, so I hope your turning fingers are ready. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy in chapter number 2. 1 Timothy in chapter number 2, in verse number 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You want to know how you can help your pastor? You can help him by praying for him and his family. You already hit that on the head, Brother Ashworth. I about come out of my seat and said, well, glory, when he said it. He already hit, you need to pray for your pastor and his family. And you need to pray for him daily. You need to pray that God will protect him. You need to pray that God will lead him as he leads this church. You need to hold your pastor up in prayer. I hope Pastor Asquith never has to stand up into this pulpit and say, who prayed for me today? Because I had a rotten day and I know nobody prayed for me in this church. You need to pray for your pastor. James 5:16 says, confessing your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you are right with God, your prayers avail much, and your prayers need to be availing much for the pastor that God has given you as a church. Praying for your pastor daily will not only help him, it'll help you be tender to the leadership of your pastor. If you are praying for your pastor and your pastor stands up behind this pulpit and maybe gives something that may be a little bit hard for you to swallow, if you haven't prayed for your pastor that week, I guarantee you it's going to be a lot harder to take. And you may buck up because of that. But if you're praying for your pastor, it makes it easier for you to follow the leadership of the pastor that God has given you. Take a turn with me to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews and chapter number 10. So the first way that we can help our pastor is by praying for him and his family. Secondly, in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2 tells us this, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, and not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Do you guys understand that your pastor is commanded to feed you, but you have to show up to the dinner table in order to be able to get fed? You've got to be here when the man of God is standing behind this pulpit so that you can be fed. You need to be in your place Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Anytime that the church doors are open, you need to be in your place. Why? So that your pastor can feed you. Your pastor was commanded to feed you, but he wasn't commanded to make home deliveries of the feed. He shouldn't have to be, you know, running to your house. Here, I got you some feed. Here, let me feed the flock. No, you need to be here. You need to show up for the preaching of God's word so that you can hear what it is that God has for you given through that man of God. You need to be in your place and show up for the preaching of God's word. So first way that we can help our pastor is to pray for him and to pray for his family. Secondly, we can help our best pastor by showing up for the preaching of God's word. Now let me just pause here on that one for just a moment. When you show up for the preaching of God's word, you have to be ready. Now, I don't know about you, but you can tell that I don't miss many meals. It's very important for me that I don't miss any meals. I'm afraid of starving to death, so I don't want to starve to death, so I show up for the meals. But if I were to show up for the meal and not have an appetite, would I get anything out of that meal? No. It's the same way when you show up for the preaching of God's word. You need to have an appetite, a desire to get what it is that God has for you out of the word of God. And you also need to show up with your utensils. You need to show up with your plate. You need to show up with utensils. You need to show up to church with your Bible, amen. Be ready to receive what the man of God has given us. Thirdly, we see in Luke chapter 14. Flip over there. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23 says this, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Not only do you need to show up for the preaching of God's word, you ought to bring somebody with you. You ought to bring others with you. The Bible here says that the Lord, the Master, he sent his servants out. He said, go out and compel them to come in. Now, that word compel is an interesting word because you cannot compel somebody to come if you're not excited about what you're compelling them to.
That's right. That's not compelling somebody. You ought to be excited about what God is doing here in this place. You ought to be, you know what? You need to come to my church. You should come with me. Man, God has given us a great pastor. He has helped me and my family so much. I am excited about what God is doing at Black Creek Baptist Church. And you ought to be excited about that and then compel them to come. Compel. Bring. All right? Bring whoever you upset with me. Take it. I'll use you. Compel. All right? Compel. Urge them. Urge them. Get them to come with you to the preaching of God's word. We not only need to pray for our pastor, we not only need to show up to the preaching of God's word, we also need to bring someone, compel someone to come with us to church. Fourthly, 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. In verse number 24, the Bible says this, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." A way that you can help your pastor is by getting involved in a ministry here at this church and then be faithful to it. The Bible says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. What? With all your heart. You need to get involved in a ministry here at Black Creek Baptist Church. And then you need to serve God in that ministry. What? With all your heart. Be faithful to the ministry that God has placed you in. Now, I want to say this, is that you need to talk to your pastor. Pastor, where can I serve here? And then don't be like,
Well, he wants me to clean the toilets here at the church. That's not, yes it is. It's just as, the toilets need to be cleaned just as much as somebody needs to stand up here and lead the singing. Don't worry about what it is that the man of God has you do. Just do it with all your heart. If I was asked to clean the toilets at this church, you know what I would do? I would be the best toilet cleaner that Black Creek Baptist Church has ever seen. Amen. The best. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Do it with all thy might. With everything that you have, do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's changing diapers in the nursery, cleaning the toilet, sweeping out the building. I mean, you got a lot of stuff to clean in here. You know, doesn't matter what it is. If that's what pastor wants you to do, do it with all your heart. Find a ministry and then be faithful to it. John 12:26 says this: if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You want to be honored by God? Serve him. And serve him where the pastor has you, and serve him with all your heart. So first of all, we can help our pastor by praying for him. Second of all, we can help our pastor by showing up for the preaching of God's word. Thirdly, we can help our pastor by bringing someone with us. Fourthly, we can help our pastor by getting involved in a ministry and being faithful to it. And then fifthly, we can be a help to our pastor by obeying God in our stewardship. And it gets quiet. Oh no, that preacher's going to talk about money again. Listen, Malachi 3:10 is very clear. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now listen, we need to be faithful to the stewardship that God has commanded us to. And I'm not just talking about in your pocketbook. Yes, that is important. The church needs your tithe to continue to go on. I've heard Bob DeWitt say so many times, money equals souls. And it takes money to reach people with the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes money to keep this building open. But not only that, you need to be faithful to God in the stewardship of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Be faithful to God in your time. Be faithful to being a good steward to God in your time. If you are supposed to be someplace here at the church doing something, be here. Be faithful to it. If you have a talent that God has given you, use it for His glory and for His honor. If you can sing, God bless you, sing. God's not blessed me with a singing voice. I can't carry a tune with a 5-gallon bucket, amen? But if that's what God has blessed you with, then use it for God's glory. Why? So that you can be a help to your pastor. Second Corinthians 9. Look over there with me if you would. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. The Bible says this: but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The Bible says that if we sow sparingly, well, I'm just going to give you a little bit of my time, God. You're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, God, I'm going to give you as much as I could possibly give you. The Bible says that ye will reap bountifully. Malachi said, look, prove God. Will he not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you? I can be a testimony of that. There's been time in our marriage where I'm thinking, Lord, There is no way that I can give you this tithe. But I was taught as a young man, it doesn't matter what's happening, you're faithful to putting your tithe in the offering plate. And there's been some Sundays when that offering plate is coming around and I've got that tithe check in my hand and I'm, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to prove you. And you put it in there. And every time, God has blessed. Be faithful to the stewardship which God has commanded you to be faithful to. First thing, how we can help our pastor, pray for him. Oh, pray for the man of God. Secondly, we can help our pastor by showing up for the preaching of God's word. Thirdly, we can help our pastor by bringing someone with us to the preaching of God's word. Fourthly, we can be a help to our pastor by getting involved in a ministry and being faithful to it. Fifthly, we can help our pastor by obeying the Lord in our stewardship. Number six, we can help our pastor by teaching our children to respect their pastor.
Amen.
Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Look over there if you would. Hebrews and chapter 13. And verse number 7 says this: Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look over at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Listen, we need to teach our children to respect the man of God. And let me tell you this, more is caught than it is taught.
That's right.
If you are on your way home from church on Sunday and you are in the van or in the car, you're driving home and you're like, man, what was that all about today? Hey, man, Pastor John, that was a bomb. That was the worst message I've ever heard in my life. And your kids are in the car listening to that?
Yeah.
Shame on you.
That's right.
Listen, you need to respect the man of God first and foremost. And let me give you a warning from about 42 children in the book of Kings who didn't respect the man of God.
Amen.
Elisha, he was, go up thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Elisha turned around and rebukes them. And what happens? A couple of bears come out and rip those kids apart. You think it's important to God that you respect the man of God? Do you understand that when we stand before God, that Pastor John Asquith is going to give an account for what happened at Black Creek Baptist Church? And as a church, we should be encouraging and help our pastor in that you're not going to give an account for it, but he is. So you need to show him the respect, the honor that is due to the position that God has called him to. Listen, we need to teach our children to respect their pastor. I mean, I know you guys see it today. Kids don't know how to respect anybody anymore. And we have to teach them to do that. We've got to say, listen, we're not going to say things about the man of God that should not be said. We're not going to do that. That's the way our family is. Listen, my children know that I respect, love, and honor my pastor. I will not say a thing that is against my pastor in front of my children. I will not do it. Why? Because if I tear down the authority of my pastor in my kids' life, guess what I'm doing? I'm hurting myself.
That's right.
Because children see authority as one.
Yeah.
They see that okay, if you're driving down the road and Pat, like Pastor Ask was talking about earlier, and that sheriff pulls you over, well, what in the world's he doing? Listen. They see authority as one, and they see how you treat the authority that God has given you in your life. So how can you encourage, help your pastor? Teach your children to respect him. And then lastly, how can you help and encourage your pastor? You can help him by increasing your love for your church family. Increase the love that you have for one another. John 13:35 says this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." You want to help your pastor? Love your brothers and sisters in Christ at this church. That'll help your pastor. He shouldn't have to be going around putting out all these little tiffs, little things going on, you know what I'm saying? No, that's not what he should be doing. He shouldn't have to be doing. You should have love for one another. I talked about that in the message this morning, having that charity, having that love that is from a pure heart. Listen, that's what we should have one for another. And that will help our pastor. Jesus taught that the world would recognize us as his followers by the love that we have for one another. If somebody from the world comes in here and they look at you and they think, well, why in the world would I want that when you don't even love the people that God has placed in this church for you to be brothers and sisters with? Why would they want that? We need to show love for one another. And we could do that by three ways. First of all, we could show that we love each other by praying for each other. Just like you pray for the man of God, you ought to be praying for the people that are in this church. You ought to be praying by name specifically for each family that is in this church. God bless brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and their children and name them by name. Lord, help me to be an encouragement to that family this week. Lord, help me to show them the love of Christ this week. Help me to help that brother and that sister move. Amen. I'm going to hit it again, brother. I'm going to hit it again. Let's show them that we love them by praying for them. Also, we could show that we have love one for another by being aware of those who are struggling and look for ways to help them. Hebrews chapter 3, we're there in Hebrews. Turn over to chapter number 3 if you would. Hebrews in chapter number 3 and verse number 12 says this, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus." Am I in the right one? Yeah, I think so. No, I'm in 2 Timothy. That's where I am. I'm sorry about that. Hebrews in chapter number 3. I didn't think that looked right. My pastor's done that before, and he say, "Well, bless God, that was a good verse, but that wasn't what I was looking for." Hebrews in chapter 3 and verse number 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of your sin." Listen, if you see a brother or sister slipping, be an encouragement to them. Do whatever it is you can to help them. Hey, brother, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you in this area. And then be faithful to pray for them in that area. Beware of those that are struggling and look for ways to help them. And then lastly, we can increase our love for our church family by extending personal care to each other.
Come on.
Galatians 6:2 says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Oh, we need to be an encouragement to our pastor by extending personal care to each other. We need to care for the people that God has placed in this church, even if they're unlovely. Especially if they're unlovely. You ought to go out of your way to love them more. I got boys and girls that come to junior church every Sunday that they are some of the most unlovely kids. I mean, they're mean. For any other better way to put it, they're mean. But guess what? They know Brother Matt loves them. They know I love them. And you know what? If they have a need and they come to me, I'm going to help them fill that need. And I'm going to care for them. Why? Because we need to bear one another's burdens. Ephesians, in our text we started with 4:16 says, "For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." When you come here to this church, you ought to be edifying one another. Building each other up, not tearing each other down. Build them up. Exhort. The Bible says exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's be a church that builds each other up. Builds each other up. Be an encouragement to each other. Be excited about being here at church. And let everybody else know that you're excited about being here at church. I want you to know something. Do you know that it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown? Smile. Be nice to each other. Smile at each other. Be kind to one another. Why? Because we need to increase the love that we have for our church family. If you do that, you'll be an encouragement to your pastor. And you will help your pastor. I close with this. In the book of Exodus, in chapter number 17, the Bible talks about how Amalek was coming to fight against Israel. And Moses told Joshua, he said, "Joshua, get you some fellas together. And you're going to go out and you're going to fight with these fellas. And when you're fighting, I'm going to go up on top of the mountain with the rod of God that I have in my hand." And so Joshua did. He went out. He got those fellas rounded up. And they went out and they started fighting. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they were up on top of that hillside. And Moses, when he lifted up his hands and held up the rod of God, the children of Israel were winning. But when Moses began to let his arms get heavy and tired, and he began to drop down that rod, the Amaleks began to win the battle. So Aaron and Hur, they went and they got a stone, and they set Moses down on that stone. Moses sat down on that stone. He lifted up that rod, and what did Aaron do? He got underneath one arm, and he bared it up. What did Hur do? He got up that other arm, and he bared it up. Listen, your pastor needs some men in this church who are going to come alongside him and bear up his arms as he does what God has given him to do in this church. And you want to help your pastor? Learn how to bear his arms. Learn how to lift him up. Learn how to be an encouragement to your pastor. How? Pray for him. Pray for your pastor every day. Pray that God would bless your pastor. Pray that God would increase your pastor's ministry. Pray that God would help your pastor as he leads this church. Amen. How can you help your pastor? Show up to church. Amen. He shouldn't have to Monday morning be making phone calls. Hey, just want you to know, I missed you at church on Sunday. Hey, sorry we didn't see you there. No, you need to show up. You need to show up and then bring someone with you. Encourage, compel them. Compel them to come in. Guarantee you, they come here, they're going to hear something that God is going to use to grab their hearts and to think, man, there's something there that I need. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to find out what it is that that place has that I need. Encourage others to come with us. And then fourthly, we could be a help to our pastor by getting involved in a ministry here at this church. I'm sure there's lots of things that need to be done around here, Brother John, right, that people can do. And they can get involved. Get involved and then be faithful to it. Fifthly, we can help our pastor by obeying the Lord in our stewardship, being faithful to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Sixthly, we can teach our children to respect their pastor. And lastly, we can help our pastor by increasing the love that we have one for another. I love my church. I hope you love your church. I love my pastor. My pastor is a gift of God to me and my family. He's a gift. Just like Jesus Christ was a gift, my pastor is a gift that God has given me. And I don't want to squander away that gift or mistreat that gift because of who gave it to me. God gave it to me. And you should feel the same way about the pastor that God has given you. Help your pastor, church. Help your pastor. Love one another. Serve one another. Do what it is that God has given you and be faithful in it. And be an Aaron and a Hur to your pastor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the truths that you've taught me from the Word of God of how to help my pastor, Lord. I pray tonight that maybe something that I said spoke to a heart here tonight. Maybe someone wasn't doing something like they had ought to be doing. Maybe they haven't been praying for their pastor like they've been praying for him, Lord. I pray that tonight, because of your word, Lord, that they would see that they need to pray for their pastor, Lord. Anything that may have been brought to their mind, Father, I pray that they would resolve now to change that so that they could help the man of God that you have given here at Black Creek Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.